It's Science Week, and children around Australia are finding ways to have fun with STEM subjects. If you have kids in your life, what are some ways you can turn your kitchen into a science laboratory? Well, early childhood education specialist Lillianne Kriegler joins me now for some ideas. Welcome, Lillianne.
Well, thank you very much, Jenny, for inviting me to come and share some ideas about science and getting children involved in the kitchen. You know, children are very, very interested in science, and it's fantastic when you have things available really, really easily around you in the kitchen to set them up with some great experiments and ideas.
Now, it sounds a bit messy, but I'm keen to hear some tips. What have you got for us today? What are some fun things to do with children in the kitchen?
And they're not all that messy. You know, we can start off just by the growing beans, and that can happen all just in a Ziploc bag. So if you just get some beans from the supermarket, the haricot ones, and you dampen some paper towel, pop that inside the Ziploc bag, and then put the beans in next to the dampened towel, zip it up and put it up near a sunny window. And then, you know, allow the children to have some time to anticipate, to predict what's going to happen. Don't tell them. And as the roots appear, you can ask them what their observations are and how they feel about what they're seeing when those beans start to grow.
Fantastic. And that, I know I've seen children get excited about planting things in the garden. It's a similar sort of concept, isn't it? Seeing this extraordinary process happen in front of you.
Exactly. And, you know, the children... often when they're very young, don't have the same explanations as we do. So they might tell you that the roots came out because they're tired of being in the dark inside the bean. And, you know, some wonderful explanation. So just getting them thinking is really the important part.
You've also got some tips for developing crystals.
Yes, that is right. So, you know, crystals can be grown with several different kinds of materials. So we can use salt, or we can use sugar, or even bicarb of soda. And what you need to do is put enough of that salt, say, into a jar that it super saturates. You can actually start to see a little bit of sediment at the bottom of the jar. And then you can dip in a piece of string, weighted down with a paper clip, just to make sure it hangs down straight. And over time, the crystals will attach to the string, and they start to grow, and they've got a beautiful shape. And different crystals, you know, look different. And children can be encouraged then to have a look through a magnifying glass to see, you know, what little worlds they are. And, you know, I know children where this has actually become a very advanced hobby over time, where they grow crystals of different kinds. It takes patience. You really have to wait a few days for your crystals to come out. But another experiment I suggest is a water xylophone, and that's much quicker. You know, we've all got these jars in our kitchens. Mm-hmm. If you take out three or four or five of them and fill them with water to different levels, you can pop in a bit of food colouring if you like to make it, a rainbow-coloured xylophone. And then you just get the children to tap with a metal spoon, and they'll hear the different sounds, and they can start creating their own music with that. And adjust the pitch and tone by adding more and less water. So that's quite an immediate experience for children.
Oh, that's
and
fabulous.
Again, yes, lovely to hear their explanations of what's going on.
There's another water experiment that you can recommend, I hear.
Yes, this is a really fun one. And so it's called walking water.
Oh.
And it's equally easy to set up. So if you have three jars and you put them next to one another, fill them with water, you know, three quarters of the way or so. And if you put a bit of food colouring on the left-hand side one and a bit of yellow food colouring in the right-hand side one, leave the middle jar clear. Then if you fold up some paper towel and dip it into the blue, from the blue into the clear jar, and do the same with the yellow, folded up paper towel from the yellow jar into the middle clear jar. What happens is the colour walks out of its jar into the middle jar, and it changes the colour of the middle one. So the blue and the yellow combine, obviously, we all know that it's going to be green because we know how the secondary colours are formed. But, you know, this is a discovery for children, so they don't necessarily know what's going to happen. And, of course, you can do this with the other, primary colours as well and create the purple and the orange.
Oh, that is so much fun, Lillianne. And
it's one of the most fun things.
Oh, and I suppose people, I mean, you can just leave it at that and just keep the mystery there. But you could also do a bit of research yourself and then be able to explain it to the children based on, you know, depending on how old they are, I suppose.
Yes, and the other thing is, you know, allowing them to take photographs and to record some of what they see. You know, I really believe that knowing something is only the beginning. So if you know something, you want to connect the information to something else. So, you know, you can grow beans, but then how do other things grow? And, you know, where does our food come from? So you go to a bigger idea, connecting it and then mobilizing. So you really want to use the information. You know, for instance, if children know how magnets work, perhaps they can create a puppet show where, you know, their little person is on a magnet and they can move it from underneath a cardboard and activate. Mm-hmm. So that is using the knowledge. And then also I love children to communicate it. So if they're too young to write it all up like or graph it, they can draw it. And every time they draw something, more parts of their brain are being accessed. And they, you know, when you draw something, it gives you much more clarity about what you have to do. So your planning gets better, your understanding of how things work. It all gets a lot better when you start to record and think about it to keep that knowledge.
And also just having a young person in your life using the scientific method, right?
Exactly, yes, that's quite correct. You want them to be great observers, great thinkers. You want them to try and, you know, reproduce something another time and see if it's still the same. So, you know, scientists ask good questions. They experiment with a variety of materials and substances. And you can, that's why it gets a bit messy. One of my favourites is volcano, which is easily done, but do it in the sink or the bath. So experiment with materials and substances. They hypothesise and predict what might happen. And this is how, I mean, some of the greatest discoveries happen by accident, like penicillin.
Yes.
You know, who knew what was growing in that jar many, many years ago? So, yes, children start to think like scientists. And then, you know, they grow up and they might use all that knowledge in a laboratory and discover something phenomenal like what our scientists have been working on in the recent pandemic to try and keep our community safe. You know, and to help solve some of the problems which we face every day. Yep, we want to make them into future scientists as well.
So lovely to hear your passion. Is some of this stuff explored in your book, EduChameleon, Lillianne Kriegler?
Absolutely. EduChameleon, I suppose its main focus is to develop children's language and conceptual understanding of the world. So, the chameleon is the art adapter. I really believe that the quality of children's language is going to determine the quality of their thinking. So we want teachers to be so adaptable, be EduChameleons, so that they can take these different opportunities, so, you know, what an experiment might mean and how they can develop it and do what I said to you to connect it, to mobilise so that children can apply the information and then all these different ways of communicating that information. So the book has seven learning zones, seven different ways teachers can use their techniques. And some of them, they're very close to the children and they're quite directive. And others, they stand right back and allow the children to do what they do best, which is discover by themselves and just stand back in wonder and awe, really.
Oh, that sounds excellent. I'd love to talk to you again in the future sometime, Lillianne.
Oh, that'd be marvellous, Jenny. I would love to do that.
Well, thanks for your time today.
It's such a pleasure.